Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I'm joined by Jim Zonlak of the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association. Jim, welcome to Parkside Today.
Well, thank you, and thank you for inviting me to this afternoon.
I believe this is the first time that on Parkside Today we've been talking fishing. We've talked football, we've talked politics, we've talked all kinds of different things, but I don't believe we've talked fishing before.
And I'm happy to be here, and you're right. We have never talked about fishing here, and being that we're near the Pike River, I think it kind of goes hand in hand of what we're going to talk about today and all the excitement about the Pike River and what we have we're doing today.
Sure. And we want to get into an event that's coming up in September 21st, actually.
Right.
But before we do that, sure. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association.
Well, I moved out to Wisconsin here about 12 years ago for work, and mm-hmm. my kids were 5 and 3 at the time, and I was looking for opportunities, and this came across the newspaper, and it said, hey, kids fishing fun at Anderson Park Pond.
Uh-huh.
And so I went there and got to be involved with the fishing kids fishing fun, which they gave me my son and daughter a rod, and we went and through different classes, and they showed my son and daughter how to identify a fish, how to fillet a fish, how to cast a rod, and gave us some bait. And there was trout planted by the Wisconsin DNR in that Anderson Park pond.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And we were given some things, and our kids, of course, 3 and 5, are about 30 seconds worth of attention.
Sure.
So we caught some fish, and after that we were done, and they were said, hey, would you like to be a member? And that's been 12 years ago. So that's where it all started on, is that the kids fishing fun around kids.
Yeah, yeah. So mentioned it a little bit that coming up on September 21st is the Pike River Cleanup, and that's hosted by your organization, the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association. Certainly people getting involved to keep waterways clean and doing those things is that's a really important task, an important commitment, isn't it?
It is. It is. Just give you a history of the river cleanup. It started with Dan Meyer. He was an avid kayaker, and I saw the front page of how these kayakers were cleaning up our Pike River, and I'm saying, well, hey, we're conservation too. So we partnered with Dan the next year and started in his garage, big dumpster. We went around, picked up trash, and I said, Dan, I said, this is an awesome event. He says, well, I'm only so big, Jim. Would you like to take over and help me? And that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted the Kenosha County executive, Jim Cruiser, and told him what we're doing.
Sure.
He was all for it. And the picture that you see in front of you in the flyer, this was our first ever, and we removed about 30 tires out of the Pike River in the first year.
Wow.
And it's been a monumental event ever since, and we're very excited about that. So just to kind of let you know, the Pike River starts at Lake Michigan at the Kenosha beachfront and goes into the Petrifying Springs Park and heads north.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know at the time, Pike was this was one of a Class A stream for Pike back in its day.
Oh.
But due to runoff and all the farmland stuff and all that, it's diminished quite a bit. So people come here and fly fish in your Pike River, which runs right through the campus here.
Right.
Yeah. Of UW Parkside.
Yeah.
So there's salmon that spawn in the fall. There's trout, rainbow trout, and also brown trout that come through this river.
Hmm.
And each of them spawn, but the salmon has a life cycle of once. They come up the stream, they spawn, and whatever gravel bed that they can find is where the eggs will stick, and they will do that. But from there on in, though, because of the runoff and what comes into our river, the oxygen levels is depleted, so we don't have the best water oxygen levels in our Pike River at this time. So the Pike River is an ideal moment for kids of all ages, parents, schools, youth, I don't care. We take away debris and trash that people find that the Pike River should be their dumping grounds.
Yeah.
And it's sad to say that I have not pulled out a tire out of the Pike River in all the 12 years. I've additionally averaged 20 tires a year.
Wow.
We removed four 40-yard dumpsters. So if you see a back of a restaurant, that's full.
Yeah.
Four of them every year. Yeah. So about 19,000-plus yards of trash comes out of the Pike River every year. And everybody goes into our Petrifying Springs and see it's beautiful. But down in other places of the river, people just take advantage and just throw their trash into the Pike River.
Yeah. And that is a shame. And I've never quite understood the what maybe goes through someone's mind to go, hey, this would be a good place to just kind of toss this, or how exactly?
We found lawnmowers, computers. There's not that I am not shocked. Whatever found. One thing I did find shocking last year was somebody took their used oil and had the caps on it and just threw it into the river. Each one had 4 quarts in it, and there was two of them in there. And thank God they were closed. But you know, people just don't decide. I don't get it though, but people don't, you know, you, if you're in the city, you can take 2 tires a day to the city.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take them,
and
people don't want to pay to dispose them, but they throw it in the river and then they say, well, it's not my problem anymore. Well, it is. It impedes the health of the river, the salmon, the way the fish goes,
sure,
and kayakers, canoers, and also your fly fishermen too, come down your rivers and fish. And, it's just not, we're just trying to bring more and more attention, like that glass bottle you have, or that water bottle, or anything you drop does not go through the waste treatment.
Right.
It goes right into your lakes and into the rivers, into the lakes. And then guess what? It ends up on our beaches, and it's very, but not to put the gloom and doom on the whole operation, mm-hmm, but the idea is to bring people down to the river, go to different areas of the lake river to see what it's really like down there, and get mm-hmm more involved with conservation about river and river restoration projects. There's organizations like the Ruppike Wynn, who's mm-hmm one of our sponsors,
mm-hmm,
who does riverbank restoration projects and do a great job doing that. And they've been a partner since day one.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that want to make our rivers more healthier, and they plant all the native species. And so they're a very good organization. We're very happy, along with the Wisconsin DNR. The Kenosha County Parks donates a shelter every year, and they've been doing it since day one. They have not charged us one penny for doing that.
Yeah.
So we're very excited. And through our area sponsors, too, we get a lot of other things donated for food and water, and we have a good day of it. It's a really good day. A lot of people leave impressed and shocked that I need to do a better job, and I didn't realize this is what's happening in our backyard.
Yeah. We're talking with Jim Zonlak of the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association, talking about the Pike River cleanup taking place on September 21st. I'm going to guess that's a Saturday.
Yep.
Saturday, September 21st, from 8:30 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. And, Jim, like when you've had this in the past, like how many people get involved and volunteer? And
well, our first one was great. It was about 35 to 40 people, and we had different people come with there. We had the Wisconsin DNR set up a booth. Everybody had a little booth presentation about the sponsorships. And lastly, it averages about 20, 25 people. It all depends. I mean, it's the reason we have the third week in December. I figured being school starting here in September, and then a couple more weeks, people aren't doing a lot of activities. They're getting ready to do their activities. But for a Saturday afternoon, come on down to the park and enjoy what we have to offer.
Right. And where do you, how do you kind of set the geographic?
Well, I didn't bring the map, and I apologize, but we start at...
And it's radio, so they can't
see
it.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, they can't see it anyway.
We'll just pretend. Yeah,
so we're going to pretend. So if you're at the beer gardens there in Kenosha
and
work your way down the river to the mouth of Lake Michigan, that's the area that we scour for trash and debris.
Wow.
And it's a large thing. So we have people that brings a kayak or a canoe or a flat-bottom boat, and they'll canoe or kayak and pull a boat behind them, stop, pick up the trash and areas. Being that we have a light rainfall so far, which is not good, but for the river, hopefully it'll stay lower and slow where we can find more debris. Because after when something is thrown in the river, it just gets into the silt and you can step right on it. I mean, it's not clear and to the bottom type river. So that's what we're hoping for, that we have a nice mild rainfall and our river don't, because the river runs fast and wide and run, it fills quick, and then she runs really quick down the river. So that's where it hides a lot of things.
Yeah. Now, when you get into the city of Kenosha, I mean, part of the pike is not, is buried,
wide.
Right?
Oh, it's yes.
Not, you can't see it.
Yeah. There's some areas that are, when you say buried, are you meaning narrow or
just or, as it's going through the city that it's not just, oh, there it is. Like it's going underground.
No. The Pike River is open all the way through. The Pike Creek is what comes from Washington Park Velodrome, and that's the creek that goes underneath the city and comes out at the harbor. Pike River is wide open river all the way through there. What we have people do in the wider parts of the river, they bring their kayaks and canoes, and they go in, they do reacher sticks and bring rakes and whatever, and we supply gloves and trash bags and bring them areas. We've had people show up in the right attire, and we had people show up in the wrong attire. So we put people strategically how they're dressed for the occasion. So we tell everybody, wear your long shirts and sleeves and your jean pants, because there's ticks and you're going to be searching for trash. It's not like it's laying there out in the middle of a grass field. I mean, it's in the area. So that's what we want to make sure when you come to this event, that dress appropriately. And we're hoping for good weather, but either rain or shine. But if the water is at a point where we feel it's just a little unsafe, we will definitely cancel the event. We don't want anybody risking for a volunteer for some trash. You know, we understand that it's important, but we don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah. So if it's running, if you've had rain and it's running too quickly, that's where you need
Absolutely. We'll just put the word out and say, hey, we can't available, but cross our fingers.
So now I've learned something today. I've learned the difference between the Pike River and the Pike Creek. So that's a good thing. Now, so where does the, because I'm not going to pretend that I know, but I think I know where the Pike River enters Lake Michigan.
Right.
Just to the...
Just on 7th and Sheridan is where I tell everybody. That's where...
La Fogata
restaurant. Yep, look east.
Right there. Yeah.
That's the mouth of the Lake Michigan. And then you... There's where people put kayaks and canoes in, and they kind of work their way up. And then there's other people that get in other areas that bring their waders or long boots. Mm. And there's other areas that you can wade around that you can area. We've done it enough where we know where the pinch points are in the river, where it collects the trash.
Because
you got to realize this river cuts into the banks and cuts underneath roots, and trees fall in into the river. And so that's what blocks the flow. And also that's where the trash hangs up.
Right.
And so that's where we kind of strategically. Now, what's good about it this year, we have people that were very good with their good friends that decided to take up drone 101. And if we can have people, we've had some people that said, hey, I'll help scout the river and take my drone. But, you know, it's not an open, wide open. I mean, there's areas you just can't. But we've got some friends that, hey, take their drones and they like to take them. But we don't get a lot of pictures like that. But it's just starting. If that happens this year, that's great. But I do a pre-walk, I call it, where I know where to walk around near the river, mark my map, and when people come in, I'll make sure they understand that, hey, this hasn't been touched yet. And what's nice about it, we have different railroad trestles and bridges and that cross the Pike River, so that's where they put their trash at. And then where we have a truck and trailer, it's also donated, the trailers are, comes, and we pick up trash in certain locations. And then we take the trash back to the park, and the park takes the care of our trash for us. Okay. So,
and what's the distance from, like, let's say we're starting in Pets there at the beer garden area, and we're going,
I think it's going to be more than that. I in my opinion, I think it's going to be 5 or more miles away. It's got to be, because if I go by a road, I know I'm traveling over 4 miles plus, so I'm thinking five plus miles it would be from the mouth up to the Petrifying Springs. But it could be wrong too, because I never mapped it out but it's a lot of river to cover.
Right, it is. And when you're for that, you talked a little bit about people fly fishing in the river. Where are there certain areas that are more popular than others?
There are certain areas, and it's like anybody's hunting spot or morale hunters. You can't give those spots up.
Where is that? It's right over there.
It's
right over there.
There's some very good strategic spots where fish do hang up, and they find it a very spot to be. And it's just like hunting and stalking. You have your favorite fly, your favorite rod, and I know people come up here from a lot of areas. I know there's some guide services that come through our area and do guide in that river as well. But they have their spots and their hunting holes too. And a lot of people that the river goes underneath Highway 31 and continues north, there's some great other areas to fish across the highway on KR over in that area there too, because that's where the other branch of it continues to go. We'd be amazed. A lot of people don't realize, if you start on A in Petrifying Springs there in 31 and grow across that trestle bridge or just go across, it gets very hilly terrain back up there in the north on Highway A and 31. You wouldn't believe the terrain's back there, and a lot of people just like amazing. So it does bring people more aware of what's the river like and what's it fun about. But it really brings notice about, hey, the Pike River has a lot to offer. It's just, and people don't realize fish do live in it. And they do. It's just like out in the Kenosha Harbor, there's fish out there.
There's fish out there. What is kind of going back to the Sport Fishing Association itself, what are some of the other things that the group, the organization is involved with?
Well, back 45 years ago, the Kenosha Sport Fishermen's Club and the Wisconsin DNR did a joint venture. They wanted a rearing pond. And then for all who's listening, a rearing pond is a place where fish are taken from our fish from the Wisconsin DNR, the mm-hmm. Rio Rose Hatchery, where they hatch the fish, okay?
Yep.
The fish come in about, I say, the length of your finger from the hatchery.
Mm-hmm.
We have a rearing pond that has well water that is very, it's consistently 52 to 54 degrees, and that's where Chinookian salmon like to be at, in the waters. That's when you see people out in the deep boats, those downriggers.
Yeah.
They're searching for that specific temperature in that range to be fishing at.
Sure.
That's where the fish seem to be feeding. Well, back to the rearing pond, every spring and end of April, early May, we get 40,000 Chinook King fingerlings.
Hmm.
And we also found out that our fish, when they were when there was a wire tag put in their nose in the yearling, when the fish were caught, they were the tags were taken, identified the Wisconsin DNR, that our fish were not coming back to the Pike River. They were actually going to the superior water that was very similar to the Pike, to our well water.
Wow.
Believe it or not, we were just a shock. So the DNR decided that, hey, we need to do an imprint program. So 4 years ago, we did a partnership with the Wisconsin DNR where we're taking Pike River water and pumping it into the water with the well water.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So that being said there, everybody has to realize just because I dump water, that fish is going to know what that is. It's quite amazing. And here's what's the amazing part. These fish are in a pond that we're feeding every couple days, twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And why they're in the water, where our water's being pumped in, air oxygenated, the whole works,
mm-hmm.
their scales start to flake off. They call it smolting. Smolting is where the brain of a fish imprints to the water it was reared in.
Wow.
Immediately. And what's amazing, now once that's done, we release the fish in the water, and you got to think about it. Our vast shorelines is like, you know, a couple thousand miles long, you know, of shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 60 miles across. Atlantic salmon swim 3,000 miles. And to these fish are doing, it's a jog
or a
brisk walk for fish. But think about it. For 3 to 4 years, they're out in that Lake Michigan evading, being eaten when they're little fish, and now they're growing up. Something tells their brain that, hey, you need to go find the Pike River water and spawn. So they school up, and they're supposed to come in into this river, but it's not 100%. But their brain is telling them to go find the river you were reared in.
Wow.
And so that's what's amazing when you think about that. It's like the River Steelhead facility in Racine, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same thing where they take the eggs out, and that's where it all starts, right there in Racine, and goes up to Wild Rose Hatchery. And then we get a certain support of fish in our rearing pond. So the rearing pond gives the fish that extra opportunity to be a little bit stronger and evade the predators when they're out there. So not all 40,000 fish survive. It's just part of nature, people. But that's been the staple of our club ever since that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do the annual Kids Fishing Fund, which I just talked about recently. We have Jack Springer, who's a very good master Boy Scout. He teaches kids and adults how to tie flies at the Moose Club coming up this fall.
Okay.
Twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great opportunity, and we enjoy it. So, Jack, we provide the hooks and the yarn and the fur, and he shows kids how to tie flies on a fly. And we've got some great youth, and we're hoping to bring more youth in. And a lot of kids don't kind of get away from that.
Sure.
But once they tie one fly and the yarn and how it really looks, they're very impressed with themselves. And
yeah, because they create something, right?
Well, you know what? It's true. They created something with their hands, but also, too, you can't believe what some of these flies look like. They're like a piece of art, and they're thrown in the river to catch a trout, which is fine, but that's the idea behind it. So that's what we do there. Then we have our mid-center, kind of our bragging rights. We have people that shore fish and boat fish, and we have a fishing cookout with the tournament, and people join in. And then from that, we give out little prizes of who caught the biggest fish and who took the best fisherman. And
it's
a bragging rights between club members. But that's been the staple of our club, is that rearing pond, kids fishing fun, tying flies, and now our conservation project. So we have a lot of entities, but we always tell people, what do you want to be a part of? That's why we have people that are lake fishermen that join our club. You don't have to be a trout fisherman, be out Lake Michigan. You can be bass and crappies and perch. I mean, we have guys that catch all types of species, but for the most part, that's what it's all was based on, was sport fishing out in Great Lakes is what it all came from.
Yeah, right. We're talking with Jim Zodlak of the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association. And Jim, you touched on there a little bit about the different species of fish.
Right.
Where are fishermen finding these different species? Is it all over? They fish in inland lakes, they're fishing Lake Michigan, rivers, creeks.
Yeah. And let's just start with the Lake Michigan fish. Great Lakes, Michigan, so the salmon. So you have your salmon fishing. So you have your Chinook salmon and then your kings. And then you have your brown trout and rainbow trout, and you have your lake trout. Now, for a lot of boaters that are going out with the big downriggers and all that, which is downtown Simmons Island, where all the charter people hang out. More people don't know they can have a charter to fish in their own backyard. It's amazing. People don't realize that you're so... So those are the big fishermen out there. But for shoreline, like myself... I'm out in the Kenosha Harbor, and I move on both sides of the harbor, and I'm strategically looking for brown trout, rainbow trout, and also Chinooks or king salmon. The king salmon's run is going to start here about three, four weeks out or sooner, but the fall's coming, unfortunately. The summer's coming to an end here, but that's where a lot of people. So. Now, your fly fishermen, now that's a different niche of fishermen that all year long there could be fish in this river, but mostly the fly fishermen come in the fall and they're out stalking for the rainbows, the kings, and the brown trout. If you really think about it, you can go out charter fishing, shore fishing, and also fly fishing in Kenosha County.
Right.
There's not many people that can offer three different types of fishing within miles of one location,
right?
And that's the benefit of what we do. So and then like your inland lakes, a lot of people go out crappie, like out in Lake Geneva, Paddock Lake. There's a lot of different types of lakes out here in Kenosha County that there's so many. Bong Recreation Area, a great place to go fishing for small fishing. I took my kids to those lakes growing up because sport fishing takes a lot of cast and a lot of time, and when you go and catch nothing, what fun is this to be out here? So I take my kids to Bong in the day and our tool's small lake and Lake Andrea, hook and bobber, and bring a picnic basket, and they're hooked and they enjoy it. But then when they want to graduate, like my kids did, we took them out to the lake, and then eventually I go on the lake shore of Michigan right near Peoria Park, give them a rod, put a Cleo on it, and never got one on, but they could cast all day. I didn't care where they were casting. The lake was in front of them, and they just were casting. Yeah. And they were excited, and that's the fun part of what we do in our organization. It's about the kids and getting the youth involved. What I do see is that I'm hoping that more youth, girls and boys, get involved in types of fishing. It's a great event. I mean, you're so uniquely positioned in a harbor, and I talk to many kids in middle school, high school, and they just, no, I don't have anybody to fish with or don't. Yeah. But, check our website out. We always want kids to join our organization.
Yeah. And part of it, too, there is that if you're not fishing and you decide that you want to fish, you can spend a lot of time doing the wrong thing, can't you?
I did. I came here from Michigan, and I thought, boy, I can't wait. And I wasn't catching much. And a true story, and this is how I got to be a good friend, my friend Hank Martinelli, and I didn't know him at the time. We're on the South Pier, and I got into a brown trout. And I couldn't believe it. I didn't have a net, and he netted it for me. And I thanked him that evening. And I took it back to my kids. And we looked at everything that I had fished for over an hour. I mean, 3 for 5 year old were so intrigued with the fins, the teeth, the eyes. They were pointing to everything in that fish. And fortunately, we had to fillet it, but that's good. But I brought him back a dozen of donuts the next day, and I said, "Hey, I don't know who you are, but you sure made an impact on my family, and we've been friends ever since." And because of where he netted a fish for me and made my kids. So those are relationships that we get on the shoreline. I mean, any given night, I know where the guys are fishing. I don't fish every night, but these guys are avid outdoorsmen. They're retired, and they'll invite anybody to fish with you. And I tell everybody, if you're coming down to that shoreline and you see a group of guys and you want to fish, look us up. I mean, the whole idea is to get you to understand like you said, yeah. I could grab the right reel and I could go get the wrong lure. And yeah. here's the guy next to me, which has happened. He's catching fish. What am I doing so wrong?
How is he doing that? How is she doing that?
Yeah. yeah. So yeah. check out the Kenosha Sport Fishing website, KenoshaSportFishing.com. We're on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And just either message us or say, hey, I'd like to go out to the lakefront. Is there anybody that I can look for and show me how to catch fish? And we'll yeah. show you the techniques. It's not a secret, but it is luck. I mean, if I could go out there and catch fish, I wouldn't be fishing. But there's some guys that are so avid and so great at it. And I'm just your fair weekend fisherman or afternoon guy. I take my equipment, I go fish, and hopefully I bring something home.
Yeah. No, it was I have an opportunity to fish north of here on the Great Lakes, but north. And my neighbor said, well, John, what were you fishing for? And I said, I don't know. You know, I was just out there. We're throwing the little fake worms on the, you know, with the sinker and going along the bottom for smallmouth. And he said, well, you know, if you're not preparing the right lures and going after the fish, you're just wasting your time. Yeah. I said, well, Connie, I was wasting my time, but it was a good time to be wasting because it's always, you know, you're next to the water. It's always pretty.
What? And I tell more people and I may get bored too. And I set the rod up and I'll just have a quick bull session with the guys or talk and say hi to people you're walking by the harbor. But it's about just detaching yourself from everyday work and enjoying what you have.
Sure.
Here at the park and enjoying being enjoying it. A lot of parents that do come to the conservation on the river cleanup just didn't realize what the river, how long it was, what it had to offer.
Yeah.
And it really got them excited to teach their kids about, hey, we need to watch what we toss on the ground and what we do with our trash and our debris. And and that's really the whole story here. It's just about bringing awareness to it. And I'm just hoping that we have a good rain and everybody turns out. But for the most part, It's all about understanding that it's our natural resources. Everybody owns it.
Yeah.
It's not one particular entity, but, be wary of your surroundings and what you're doing. And, everything that you do that you drop in the ground does not, I mean, go look at your storm drains and all that. It's it's just one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had the pleasure of talking with Jim Zondlak of the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association. Here on Parkside today, and wanted to talk just a little bit about from your perspective and being someone who spends time on the water, near the water, what are some of the bigger, and we talked a little bit about some of the trash things, but what do you see as some of the bigger challenges for the area that you would say to people once they start getting more maybe in tune with the natural resources that they find that, I need to pay attention to this or this is an important thing?
A lot of people don't understand about rain barrels and where your houses are at. Mm-hmm. Realizing all this, all those water spouts and all the things off your side of your house, Root Pike Wind has it on their website, but it's amazing the amount of gallons of water that are coming off our roofs that we don't capture to water your flowers or anything. We go right to the water and we turn it. That's seriously, I didn't realize that. And then I learned a lot about phosphates on grass clippings. How it takes away the phosphates that we put in our grass clippings, throw into the water.
Yeah.
It takes away all that oxygen and all those grass clippings you throw on the street going into the drains and our streets and goes right out into Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. I learned that, if anything, those are the two things that I realized. So I bag my grass and I take it to the dump or the compost pile and turn in the compost. The rain barrel, I do have one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some numbers out there, the amazing water of gallons you can save by just one water at your house.
Yeah.
And if everybody did it, think about how the less water would be going into our water system in Kenosha here. So, and then, like I said, understand where your runoff is and realizing that, farmers are farmers and everybody else is really worried about, our Lake Michigan precious water. But those are the things that anybody can do. If you really want to do an impact, those things right there, watch your grass clippings and put a rain barrel on a spout and collect your water and use that as your water and your plants and just save more of that conservation. That's sure. the one that I learned a lot this yeah. last couple of years.
Yeah, because it's all tied together.
It is all tied together. People, it does amazing too. People, yeah. and be conscious of where you throw your stuff. Yeah. I want people to understand that it may not be yours at the end of the day, but it's somebody else's at the end, and it's our generation that needs to protect it because right. our kids are going to be following right behind us, and if we don't set the example now, who will?
Yeah, yeah. And I think about that sometimes as a, you know, as a person who grew up in the 60s and 70s when there was a fair amount of promotion, public information mm-hmm. about litter, about trash. And I look around sometimes and I think, boy, we didn't do very well, did
right,
we?
Right.
Because I don't see when we look at the picture here of the Pike River cleanup mm-hmm. and see the tires that are there and the other things that right. you found, it's like we certainly can do a lot better.
Absolutely. You know, and like I said, one, everybody can make an impact, and it's how you want to make that impact. And like you said, like I tell everybody, just come on down, check out. And there's a lot of things that the Root Pike Wind is offering people mm-hmm. too. I mean, if you're saying, hey, this ain't for me, but Root Pike Wind does a great job. And Kenosha County Parks, I mean, just look at the new improvements our Kenosha County
yeah,
Parks have done
gorgeous.
in the last 5 years. And
right.
we're so happy to be a part of that too. And what's nice about it too, that if we see something wrong or seeing that's out of place, we have people to contact, like Kenosha
yeah.
County,
yeah.
or we see something from that should be turned in. We call the Wisconsin DNR and saying, hey, we've got some conservation issues over here, and we've noticed
yeah.
this. And yeah. so those are the partnerships our club has. You know, being with the DNR, we're very close with the rearing of the fish,
mm-hmm.
and they come down to the park too to make sure that we're all safe and nobody's bothering anybody. But we also make sure that everybody understands that those like we all talk about, that one plastic cloud of plastic that's in the water in Texas, it's the size
yeah.
of Texas or
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
that's
yeah.
what I don't want our Great Lakes
right.
to end up being
right.
just
yeah.
be conscious of those things. And anybody that's fishing on the shores or at the harbor or around the lakes, the river, that little chew can and this little water bottle here, if everybody did that, you'd be very upset that
right.
gosh, you know, I need to stop. I
right.
need to go throw it in a trash can.
Sure. Yeah. Again, Jim Zondlak with the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association. Tell us, if someone wants to get involved in the Pike River cleanup
mm-hmm.
taking place on Saturday, September 21st, how do they do that?
Well, we have a website, KenoshaSportFishing.com,
okay.
and also a Facebook page.
Okay.
And we have our flyer, which will be on our Facebook page. And if you want to, it's PikeRiver@KenoshaSportFishing.com.
Okay.
We're all also looking for sponsors. If anybody, I don't care if you're a club, a business, or just a self-interest for yourself, it's $200. And those sponsorships help us to buy food and pay for the gas and also other items and things that we need for the event.
Sure.
And it helps the volunteers to stay healthy, and we enjoy it, and it creates camaraderie. But, yeah, and if you want to call, the cell phone number is 262-620-1680. And if you want, just make a comment on our Facebook page. You heard us and enjoy us, and let's grow this thing.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've been talking with Jim Zondlak of the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association. Pike River cleanup coming up on September 21st. So he gave you information there to get in touch with the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association if you'd like to take part, either at their website or by calling 262-620-1680. And Jim, good luck with the event. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for everybody picking up our story, inviting me into the radio station today. I really enjoyed it. And I'm just so happy that I know you guys exist, and we'll definitely be listening.
Yeah, it'd be fun to do a follow-up. And,
absolutely.
See what, hopefully, the good part is if you get done and you can't show me a picture of 20 tires, that would be a really good thing.
You know what? If that would be the success, if we don't find a tire this year,
yeah.
I will definitely be telling you. But we'll definitely bring pictures and stories. But we've had people from the UW Parkside campus show up to volunteer
sure.
in Carthage College and Gateway. So I'm happy to know that our college kids students are very
yeah.
interested in coming
yeah.
out to volunteer.
Yeah, that's good. Great. Well, to hear past editions of Parkside Today, go to uwp.edu/parksidetoday, all one word. This is John Melke. Thanks a lot for listening.